Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
Is there anybody out there?
I'm not dead yet.
Is there anybody out there?
I'm still alive.
This is not a Monty Python or Pink Floyd podcast. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 16 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recast in those iconic roles? And my name is
Travmatic. Pause.
Like a dramatic pause.
There you
I
go.
Love it. All right. Or some would call it a pregnant pause. I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, the Wrath of the Sean. Wait, the Wrath of Sean. Yeah. And a.k.a. Sean Cubus. And in addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show no one, because there's no guests this week. And but do you want to know what Joey's names were going to be?
Of course.
T. Joe Hooker.
Nice.
A.k.a. Osmosis Joey. A.k.a. Joded Weapon 1. Jeez. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older films, sometimes classics with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes, reboots, sequels. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
And so this week, we're going to kind of alter the... We're going to do a transformed edition of the movie news. It's going to be COVID Corner. Before we get to that, we do want to do an RIP. RIP to Stuart Whitman, leading man on big and small screens, died at the age of 92. All right, so first up in COVID Corner. Universal is to distribute new releases on demand amid the coronavirus. I believe that The Invisible Man is one of those films that will be available to stream.
Along with Trolls World Tour and The Hunt. Now, that's kind of funny. The Hunt, the distribution was delayed after one of those mass shootings.
Oh.
This is that flip the script on right-wingers kind of thing, and left-wingers get their day in the sun kind of deal. And so it's kind of interesting that, yet again, this movie's kind of gotten the short end of the stick.
So it's delayed once again.
Well, it's not delayed. It's out. It's on the digital
delivery. The Razzies. The Razzie Awards have been halted by city coronavirus restrictions as producers are uncertain whether to cancel or postpone. What do you think?
It is what it is, man. It's the world we live in.
Hallmark Channel schedules Christmas movie marathon during self-quarantine.
Of course they did.
And is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Yes.
Corona Corner? COVID Corner?
The notorious Full Moon Features is already exploiting coronavirus with a film about zombies, but they've been infected with the coronavirus. And I don't know how they managed to whip that.
So they're not twist just out. Zombies.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the film was already practically done, and they somehow were able to put a coronavirus skin on it. I
said they did it in post.
I said the film should just be called Too Soon.
Yes. All right. Well, as soon as that phone rings, oh, there it is. We do have somebody who's still in touch with us. It's the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hello from far more than 6 feet away. Paul Haggis directed the 2005 film Crash, not David Soderbergh. Danny Masterson is not a twin. His brother Christopher, who played the older brother on Malcolm in the Middle, is about 4 years his junior. Wikipedia says The Ranch is a sitcom, not a scripted reality show. Rosie Perez was not in Suicide Squad, and Journey Smollett-Bell played Black Canary. She's also Jesse Smollett's sister. In the entomological world, there is no such thing as a brindlefly or a brundlefly. That's it for this week. Until next time, wash your damn hands.
All right, well, that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department, but not before we say, everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your body.
Yeah.
6 feet back. All right. So, theme of the episode, in celebration, everyone's celebrating this, of his 89th birthday on March 22nd, the films of William Shatner.
he is spry for 89.
Yeah.
He is well preserved for 89.
Yeah, well, he did spend all that time in the holodeck.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Born on March 22nd, 1931, this Canadian-American actor, author, producer, director, screenwriter, and singer, Rocket Man. In his 7 decades of television, Shatner became a cultural icon for his portrayal of Captain James T. Kirk of the USS Enterprise in the Star Trek franchise. If Chelsea had been here today, her name would have been To Chelsea Go, Where No Man Has Come Before. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is a couple of William Shatner movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to everyone, I think he'll always be James Tiberius Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from Rescue 911 and TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of, having spent this week watching several early William Shatner movies, I'm kind of sick of him.
Yeah.
He's very annoying.
Yeah, I mean, outside of a few early films in his career where he wasn't quite the persona that he is today.
Right.
A lot of his films were just plain bad. A lot of B-movies, which we'll talk about a few of those.
He did a ton of B-movies in between...
Star Trek and... Well, Star Trek. I mean, yeah, like from the TV series to the movies.
Yes.
He was filling that with a paycheck for really, really bad B-movies.
Indeed. All right, so at this point, we're going to go ahead and go into our Midnight Double Feature. Which is a segment where we each name two movies that we feel like would be a good pairing for a double feature. A midnight double feature. And so what did you decide to go with this week,
okay,
Sean? I know you said it was a surprise.
So I went kind of meta with this because William Shatner is larger than life,
mm-hmm.
I think, today and even just, I mean, in recent years. But even back in the 70s, I think that his persona as James Kirk had kind of transcended his, William Shatner. You know, the character became bigger than anything.
Right.
So having that in mind, I picked two films. The first is from 2009. It's mm-hmm. called Fanboys.
Okay. Yes, I've seen this.
And I just recently watched this for the first time, and it's got some great people in it. Dan Fogler, Jay Baruchel, smoking hot Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Seth Rogen in dual roles. He played the head of the Star Trek nerds.
Yes, I remember that
and
part.
And he played the pimp.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I didn't realize
Which
that.
He squared off against himself.
Awesome.
Yeah, in this little split screen. But the reason I selected this, of course, is I guess I should back up and tell you the plot. You've got a group of friends who are trying to crash Skywalker Ranch in time to see The Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
Before it comes out in theaters, they want to see the cut at Skywalker Ranch in
right.
George Lucas's office. And because one of their friends is...
Spoiler alert, yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
One of their friends is gonna is terminally ill, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's like a, kind of a bros kind of...
Make-A-Wish.
Quest. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a road film. William Shatner makes an appearance as himself. He gives the guys the floor plans, the ground plans mm-hmm. of the Skywalker Ranch so they can break in.
And because he's just cool like that.
Well, that, and he just... Obviously, there's that whole Star Trek versus yes. Star Wars thing. And, yeah, Shatner eats up the scenery and says, "I was never here." And he just kind of backs away into the shadows because there's some Star Trek nerds chasing after them. And he
like Homer into the hedges.
Yeah. And at this point, I would be remiss not to mention the SNL sketch where Shatner played himself at a Star Trek convention and famously said, "Get a life."
Yes. Making fun of the nerds who love him.
Exactly.
All right. And what are you going to pair that with?
I'm going to pair that with 1978's Halloween.
Oh, very interesting.
The John Carpenter film with Jamie Lee Curtis and uh-huh. Donald Pleasance, and the visage of uh-huh. William Shatner as the Mask.
So it's interesting that you say that, because one of my films that I'm going to talk about for my double feature, they did a cast of his face, which became a Captain Kirk mask, which eventually became
yes.
the mask of Michael Myers in Halloween.
Right, right.
Wild.
So those are my ultra meta William Shatner picks.
I like it. My double feature is going to include two horror films. One from right before he started on the Star Trek TV series. And then one from right before the first Star Trek movie. Star Trek, The Motion Picture.
Yeah.
All right, so the first one is called Incubus from 1966. It's got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Leslie Stevens. It was filmed entirely in the completely made-up language of Esperanto. It stars William Shatner shortly before he would begin his work on Star Trek. An injured soldier named Mark, played by William Shatner, makes his way to a mysterious seaside community called Nomen Tomb, which translates in Latin to your name. like many others, he has traveled to the area so he can bathe in the healing springs there. But evil also lurks in this idyllic countryside. Mark meets a satanic witch, Kaya, played by Allison Ames, and is hounded by a demonic incubus, played by Milos Milos, who haunts people in their dreams. Mark and Kaya fall in love, but she may not be able to break her bond with the dark side. All right, and so then I'm going to pair that with a movie from 1975, just before Star Trek The Motion Picture. It's called The Devil's Reign. And if you saw my Twitter review, it was not rain or rain, but literally rain. And there's some spelling things there. So I expect it to be like the bridle that the devil holds on people, or the time that he is in the throne.
No, it's literally it's precipitation.
It's rain that melts your face off. It's a 1975 horror film directed by Robert Foost. It's got an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. I really felt like I should have been a little bit higher, but not as high as the previous film. Not as high as Incubus. 1975 horror film, one of several B films in which William Shatner starred between the original Star Trek television series and Star Trek The Motion Picture. Other cast members include Tom Skerritt, who was also in Big Bad Mama with William Shatner. Ernest Borgnine, he's the big bad in this. Not the Big Bad Mama, but the big bad. Also, Ida Lupino.
Yeah.
Ida Lupino, who we've talked about. And the very first on-screen feature film performance of John Travolta.
Yeah. Now, wasn't Anton LaVey brought in as a consultant on this movie?
Absolutely, he was. And he played a very minor role in the film.
He's the big Church of Satan guy?
Right.
Okay.
So that's going to be my double feature, The Devil's Reign and Incubus.
So what were your impressions from these films? I mean, you kind of gave us a pretty thorough synopsis, but what did you think of them?
I think that Incubus was cool. The cinematography was amazing. The guy went on to win multiple Academy Awards, the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was filmed in a made-up language was weird.
They said they did that to kind of make it seem creepy and otherworldly.
And that, I mean, in a way, yes, that worked. But there was also this rumor floating around that they did it for international appeal because it's supposed to be like a universal language, right? Okay. The Devil's Reign, not really a recommend. There is some like fun value to it.
Yeah.
But not anything you should rush out and see.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I would obviously recommend Halloween. And I would recommend Fanboys. It's got a lot of established...
Fanboys is fun.
Well, it's a lot of established actors now and very early in their careers. So I would definitely check it out just for some nostalgia.
All right, so we'll go ahead and take it into the recast, which is our feature segment. This is where we take a film from the catalog of our subject at hand, this week being William Shatner. and... The first one is from 1974. It does not have a rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by William Griffey.
Yeah, I would say Griffey.
And it's called Impulse. And this movie is about a paranoid con man named Matt Stone who seduces lonely women, bilks them of their savings via an investment scam, then kills them. When he begins seeing an attractive widow, her daughter, Tina, becomes suspicious of his motives. So it's like he's like a Ted Bundy type.
Yeah.
Right? He's charismatic and attractive, but has very ill motives.
Was it just me or was that Tina... The daughter, Tina, was she not annoying?
Yeah, very much so. God. That's why we're not recasting her.
Oh, geez. She was something special.
Speaking of the roles that we are going to recast, we've got William Shatner as Matt Stone.
43 at the time?
He was 43. We've got Ruth Roman. She was 52 at the time, and she was kind of a classic Hollywood star.
Yep.
But also, she was a passenger on the SS Andrea Doria, which notoriously sank. She survived that. She was one of the passengers who was rescued,
but I thought that was a
pretty cool side point about her.
For 50 or so, she had some va-va-voom going on.
Indeed. She was playing Julia Marstow. Then we've got the great Harold Sakata playing Karate Pete.
I love that name, Karate Pete.
Yes.
You skipped right over... The female.
No, I've got her next.
Oh, you're going to do her last? Okay.
Yeah, Jennifer Bishop as Anne Moy. Jennifer Bishop was 33 at the time. As the default guest, Sean, who did you decide to recast as Matt Stone?
All right, so I'm seeing this as being kind of like a straight up remake in that period.
Okay.
So we're going to amp up the creepiness and try to downplay the cheesiness, but it's definitely going to be to that era because I definitely want to see this actor in that same tight striped tank top.
Yeah.
with some of those leisure tight, suits. Those leisure suits. Boy, that was great stuff. So Shatner's 43. This actor is 43. And he's been in such things as Up in the Air.
Okay.
This is the End. Pineapple Express.
Okay.
And The Righteous Gemstones. Yes. I picked Danny McBride.
Yes. I love it. So it's not going to be comedic?
No.
Okay.
No, I like the idea of taking comedic actors and casting them in very serious roles.
Very interesting. All right. Well, my actor is 43 now. Most people would know him for playing Pete on The League, but he's also a director slash writer with his brother, whose name I don't have. They did The Puffy Chair, The Dodecapentathlon, and Jeff Who Lives at Home. He co-wrote and starred in Creep and Creep 2. His name is Mark Duplass.
I like that.
Duplass. Doubly, doubly Duplass. All right, next up, we've got Julia Marstow, played by Ruth Roman, and she's
the initial target.
Right. She's earlier in the first act of the film. She is the mark.
Right.
And she's an aging but not old widow. And
she kind of derails the plot because she fixes Matt Stone up with her friend, the young friend who we'll talk about in a second.
And your pick for her?
All right.
For Julia?
I had her down as 50. You said 52, which is fine because my actress is 51.
Perfect.
And I picked her because...
Split the difference.
Yeah, well, I picked her because she not only is a great actress, but she's aging gracefully. And if you follow her Twitter, she talks a lot about that. She's not one of these actresses that tries to hide her age or fight it. She is what she is. And
wait, how do you fight your age?
Well, you know, fillers and lifts and
I thought you meant like literally.
No.
Get in the ring.
In the ring? Yeah, no. She got her start very early on. It wasn't her first role, but she got her start early on in the TV series Friends. She was in the film Eulogy, Unaccompanied Minors. She does a lot of voice work with Batman animated stuff. But she
was the movie Miners set in 1849 in San Francisco.
No, Unaccompanied Minors.
Oh, Miners. Okay.
But most people would know her from her stint on the TV series Criminal Minds. It's Paget Brewster.
Paget Brewster, not to be confused with her long lost sister Punky Brewster.
Correct.
All right. Well, my actress is 51 now. She's recently come under criticism for her physical appearance, which I don't care for. Quit body shaming people. She was in Double Jeopardy. She was in Kiss the Girls. She was in Norma Jean and Marilyn. Her name is Ashley Judd.
Ah, very good.
Ashley Judd is going to be my Julia Marstow.
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right, next up, we've got Harold Sakata. Harold Sakata was an American Olympic weightlifter, professional wrestler, and film actor, best remembered for his role as the villain...
Oddjob.
...in the James Bond film Goldfinger from 1964. And he was born in... Oh, I'm going to butcher this. Hualalua, Hawaii, and was of Japanese descent. He was 54 at the time, and he played the character Karate Pete.
Now, Karate Pete was another con artist, and I think Shatner owed him some money. Is that correct?
Well, in real life, yes. William Shatner owed him.
No, Matt Stone owed him money, and... to get out of it, I guess Matt Stone decided to kill him. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Anywho, it was kind of comical, though, because he tried to hang him and choke him, but he somehow gets out because he has a knife,
Yeah.
So Shatner chases him down in slow motion through an automated car wash.
Slow motion for me.
It was ridiculous and stupid. All the while, the young girl's in the back seat witnessing all of this.
Well, the automated car wash was a new innovation in this era. And so you want to put it in almost every movie you can.
Including car wash?
Yes.
Oh, I've got to mention this. I should have said this when we were recasting the Matt Stone character. This film famously features William Shatner farting on screen. Because he had ramped up the cheese factor and was overacting to such a degree that he just lets one rip in the middle of the scene.
He ate too much cheese.
I don't know, but I didn't hear it, but other people have seen the film and they're like, yeah, you can tell it's right there in that scene. Anyway.
I didn't notice either.
I'm getting way off topic. So for Karate Pete, I wanted to recast the guy who played Random Task in the Austin Powers films. His name is Joe Sun. However, I found out that he was arrested, got off on parole, then was later linked via DNA evidence to a gang rape and torture of a lady in 1990. And so he is currently serving time.
So he's canceled.
He's not available for this role. So instead, I went with somebody who I thought would be kind of cool. He's 51 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's rather buff. You've seen him in The Squared Circle, but you've also seen him in Blade Runner 2049, as well as all the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy films featuring the character Drax. It's mm-hmm. Dave Bautista.
Nice. Very cool. So I was thinking about Harold Sakata's Hawaiian culture, and I went with a 50-year-old Native Hawaiian American actor and former sumo wrestler and mixed martial artist. He is from Lei, Hawaii, and is of American Samoan descent. He was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but he's best known for his commonly recurring role as, Kimikona Tupuola. Kimikona Tupuola on Hawaii Five-0.
There you go.
And in guest appearances as the same character in MacGyver and Magnum P.I., the reboots of those shows. His name is Taylor Willey. Taylor Willey is a striking...
That's a good one. Yep. Good pick.
Has a striking resemblance to the original actor.
Harold Sakata.
All right, so we've got one more, right?
Yep.
Jennifer Bishop as Anne Moy. Now, tell us a little bit about how she comes into the,
well,
the ball game, if you will.
Julia Marstow, the Mark, as you called her,
mm-hmm.
Decides to fix her friend Anne up with Matt Stone. And uh-huh. they hit it off, and she's got a daughter, a very mouthy, annoying daughter. But she also gets squarely put in the crosshairs of this murderous villain.
Right. Okay, so originally, at the time, Jennifer Bishop was 33 when she played Anne Moy. And who did you settle on for this actress?
I went with another 33-year-old. She has been in films as such as Age of Adeline, Sex mm-hmm. Drive,
yep.
Final Destination 3, and The Haunting in Connecticut. But you would know her from Silicon Valley in the role of Monica Hall.
Oh, really?
Amanda Crew.
Yes. Dude, that's a really good pick.
Face value, too.
Yeah, I went mostly with face value for mine. She is also 33. She was in Kick-Ass. She was in Hot Tub Time Machine. She got her start on The Young and the Restless and also had a small role on How I Met Your Mother, which came up last week. Her name is Lindsay Fonseca. Lindsay Fonseca is going to be my Anne Moy.
I like it.
So, at this point, we need to say whether or not we would recommend this film.
I do not recommend this film.
Do not recommend it, but if you are a Shatner completist...
Well, you kind of have to see it.
Shatner... It is on YouTube in its entirety.
Correct.
As are most of the films we're talking about today. But yeah, not a real recommend for me unless you just want to see very over the top, overacting William Shatner.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So at this point we're gonna go to intermission, but not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some
Star Crunch.
And some hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Well, yeah, yeah. But Star Crunch from Little Debbie.
Is that like Star Trek?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a Star Trek thing.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply
a Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. We just had to do a drive-through COVID-19 test. Just joking, that's not available to anyone. When we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
And what is our beer this week?
It's a very on-theme beer. It's from New Belgium Brewing. It's called Starship IPA.
All right, so we're going to check that out.
Yeah, this is a variation on the Voodoo Ranger of their IPA. I'm assuming with Starship in the name, it's probably a galaxy-hopped beer.
Mm-hmm. And on first response, what do you think?
This can might be a little old. The date on the bottom of the can is a enjoy-by date, and the enjoy-by date is May 2020, so I don't know how long this has been in the store.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, like that it might be a little bit aged, but I feel like the initial beer, had it been fresh, would have probably been pretty good.
Well, we've had worse on the show.
Oh, yeah. Mostly brought by me. So we're going to do our 2020 movie marathon now. This is where Sean and I each... and everyone else who would like to participate, try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year, the goal being 365 or above and beyond, to boldly go where no marathon has ever gone before. And we check them in on Letterboxd and Twitter with the hashtag 2020 Movie Marathon, or whatever year it happens to be. Also, my check-ins are on the Cinema Chop Shop Twitter feed, and yours are on what now?
A windowless van.
All right.
Driven by Matt Stone.
Gross. All right, so what is going to be your first check-in for this week, Sean?
Let's see, what 80th day of the year, did you say? Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, all right, I'm on 98, and I think you're going to catch up with me since you are...
Self-quarantined?
Self-quarantined, yes. I'm going to check in number 98. This was awful. It's a poorly made documentary called Albert Fish about America's, one of its most twisted cannibal serial killers in history,
Albert Fish. Guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who abducted a girl. It was around turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Abducted a girl, ate her, and then later recounted the whole episode to her family in the form of a letter. Disgusting guy, raised in some pretty fucked up circumstances. His wife left him. He had to raise their 6 kids by himself, which according to the kids, he was not bad towards them. I guess he took his outlets elsewhere.
Mm.
And he self-tortured himself, self-flagellation, as well as inserting needles into various parts of his body. Yeah.
They covered him on one of our peers' podcasts, last podcast on the left.
They did a much better job than this documentary. This documentary was pretty ham-fisted. The quote-unquote experts were pretty lousy. And there was they really fixated on a lot of the religious aspects of Fish's upbringing. And I think they were trying to get a rise out of people by showing a lot of religious imagery.
Your description of ham-fisted just made me hungry.
Yeah. Mmm, ham.
All right, well, my first one for this week is going to be a... mockumentary, pseudo-documentary. It's weird. It's from 2019, and it's called Framing John DeLorean. It's about the creator of the DeLorean car, the DMC-1, and how his career was so meteoric. My actual... description, a meta movie within a movie, documentary reenactment film with the meteoric arc of auto executive John DeLorean, and Alec Baldwin plays him in the reenactments, which I thought was perfect casting. I enjoyed it. I gave it 4 stars.
You know, there's a drivable DeLorean within the vicinity of where we record.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the way to Bennettsville. It's in a little garage.
Now, when you say drivable...
you can drive it.
Who can?
Not anybody, but if you know the person who owns it, you can drive it. I believe Chelsea has driven it or ridden in it. She told me about it. She could fill us in on details if she were here.
88 miles per hour, Marty. What's going to be your check-in?
All right, so my next check-in will be number 97, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Very early horror.
Oh, absolutely. 1920s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 1918, maybe.
Silent film, and my Twitter review was, the moment you realize Tim Burton lifted his entire design aesthetic from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classic German expressionist film.
Yep.
The sets are very creative, and like I mentioned Tim Burton, I'm speaking specifically about the sets. Long forms that kind of stretch out in strange perspectives.
Yep.
Very much counterintuitively against each other, like different pieces pointing in different directions. So very topsy-turvy kind of design. And the story, of course, is about the Dr. Caligari and his somnambulist zombie, I guess you'd want to call it, this guy who's been asleep for 23 years, brings him to life, and it's essentially killing on behalf of Dr. Caligari. And there you have it. It's an old story. It's been remade. There are more current versions you could watch that would probably...
And also very influential on so many films.
Absolutely. So that's on Criterion Channel right now. By the way, there's a collection of German Expressionist films, and this one leads off the pack.
So right on.
Knocked it out.
All right, my next check-in is going to be a movie from 2019 again, and it's on Netflix. It's called I Am Mother. And it's a sci-fi, a dystopian or post-apocalyptic sci-fi in which we are led to believe that
humanity has been completely wiped out, and there is a laboratory where a robot can incubate a child and raise it to fruition. It was thought-provoking, and we also get to see Hilary Swank and hear the voice of Rose Byrne.
Yep. I saw this last year, I guess, when it came out, and what did you think about it?
I liked it.
Yeah. Dystopian being the key word, I think, in this, because things don't go the way you think they will.
No.
My next check-in will be number 90. This is a film called Journey to the Beginning of Time from 1955.
No shit.
It is a Swedish movie, I think, Scandinavian film, about some boys who want to see how Earth started in prehistoric times, and
I hate to break it to them, but 1955 is not the beginning.
Well, they get in their little canoe and start paddling through a cave, and it takes them through the various eras. I don't know how, but somehow they cut across the ice, and they end up in prehistoric times with some pretty cool stop motion animation, which I imagine if you were a kid in 1955, your mind would have been blown away by this movie. Of course, by today's standards, it's kind of cheesy, but it was an interesting little flick. It's part of a collection that Criterion put out, featuring the director Carol Zeman. And he did some other films, most famously one about Baron Munchausen.
I've always said that he's Zeman.
He is Zeman. But yeah, the fabulous Baron Munchausen would be the movie I would recommend from him. That's the guy that was using etched drawings as part of his set pieces.
Gotcha.
And so everything looked like an illustration come to life. Pretty cool stuff.
All right, I've got one more, and it is called Miss Americana. It is the Taylor Swift documentary. Just came out.
I knew you were going to watch that. When I saw the title, I said, Travis has this one covered.
Yeah, I got it.
Because you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
Granted, she's not my favorite.
The poster above your bed says otherwise.
But you have to respect her ability to adapt. So obviously she started out in the country music scene and then gradually changed into a pop singer.
I think the best thing that ever happened to her was Kanye interrupting her at the VMAs.
Well, they actually delve into that in the documentary. It
was a pivotal moment in her career.
And they also shed some light on the plight of a female entertainer in this world having to constantly reinvent yourself, which I think she's done very well, but it's not great that those are the circumstances that you have to abide by. So those are our three check-ins.
Yes.
For this week's
Stick a fork in
of the 2020 movie marathon. And I guess that brings us to the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
Quarantine.
The Wrath of...
Not come.
No, that was last week.
All right, well, the movie that we're going to be recasting is from 1975, if I'm correct. And
it's 77.
77. It was directed by John Bud Cardos. Quotations around the bud. And it was called The Kingdom of the Spiders. Kingdom of the Spiders. And what did you think about this movie, Sean?
Oh, my God. I thought so many things about this movie. First of all, when you have a director whose name is, quote, Bud.
Yeah.
And the quotes are his, not mine. Mm-hmm. You know you're in for a treat. You know when Riff Trax has covered a movie, you're in for a treat. There was some great audio in this. There's a little girl screaming on the bed when there's spiders around. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not a little girl. It's some sort of weird cat creature because it's just, it's bizarre. The crop duster, when he's being attacked by spiders, his screams are... He sounds like a woman. Just strange. And then at the end of the film, when Shatner's covered with spiders, spoilers, his facial expression, like he had something stuck in his teeth, I found to be very entertaining.
Nice. All right, so the basic plot outline, Arizona farmer Walter Coby, played by Woody Strode, and his wife, Birch, have problems on their hands. They have calves that are dying, and they don't know why. So they consult the help of local cowboy / veterinarian, Dr. Robert Rack Hansen.
His nickname is Rack for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Well, they say something about it. He's having a conversation with the arachnologist, but I don't remember what the reason was. Arizona farmer Walter Coby and his wife have a problem on their hands. One of their cows was just killed by a creature, but they have no idea what the beast could have been. So they consult local vet Dr. Robert Hansen, played by William Shatner, who becomes puzzled and calls in scientist Diane Ashley, played by Tiffany Bowling. Eventually, the duo discovers that oversized spiders are invading the small town.
But they're not oversized. They're just regular tarantulas.
They're tarantulas. Putting the entire population in danger as a county fair begins.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's real bad.
I mean, just leave town, folks.
Yeah. Also, like you said, they're not oversized spiders. They just use tarantulas. And
oh, man. I mean, whoever wrote this really wanted to float their spider knowledge, because there's like a scene in it where Shatner says, you know, if spiders don't have food, they'll just consume each other. These spiders have gone on the attack.
Yeah.
It's just lame.
It's real bad.
Tiffany Bowling, who played Diane Ashley, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the film sounded like she was from a foreign country. Did you pick up on that?
Her accent changed throughout the movie. Yes.
Yes. Weird.
Well, when you first meet someone, you want them to be convinced that you're very...
Yeah. I'm from Norway, by the way.
All right. So we do have one... two, three roles that we're going to recast. First, we've got Rack Hansen, played by William Shatner. We've got Diane Ashley, played by Tiffany Bowling. And then we've got the role of Woody. No, Woody's the actor.
Walter Coby.
Walter Coby, played by Woody Strode. So let's get right into it. Who is your William Shatner?
All right, so let's see. The Shat was 46 at the time. My actor is also 46.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the film Mission to Mars.
Hmm.
He was in the TV series Sliders.
Nuh-uh.
And he is in pre-production as Commander Ramson on Star Trek Lower Decks.
What?
His name is Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I can see him overacting his way right into this movie.
This is a theme pick, by the way.
All right, cool. My Rack Hansen is 45 now. He was in Boy Erased. He was in The King. He was in Red Sparrow. He was also in the Netflix movie Bright. His name is Joel Edgerton.
Edgerton. Okay.
And for the listeners, in my picture, he's like licking something off of his pinky, where William Shatner is showing people a Q-tip or a cotton swab. So I think it fits.
I like it.
Next up, we've got the arachnologist. Is that right?
Arachnologist? Sure. Why not?
Arachnologist.
Dana.
Played by Tiffany Bowling, who was 30 at the time. She was playing the role of Diane Ashley. And who was your pick for that, Sean?
I picked a 34-year-old actress. She was in the film Goon. She was in Milk. She was in Dan in Real Life. She was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World and can currently be seen in Star Trek Picard as Dr. Agnes Girardi. It's Allison Pill.
I think I just got your theme.
Yeah, maybe.
Allison Pill is good.
She's a great actress.
All right, well, my pick for the role of Diane Ashley is 29 now. She was in Patriot's Day. She was in The Finest Hours. She was in Spies in Disguise.
You love that movie. You love that movie.
She was a voice in that. She's also in the TV show House of Cards. And most people would know her as Midge Maisel in The Marvelous Miss Maisel. Her name is Rachel Brosnan.
Nice.
Rachel Brosnan is going to be the spider expert who comes in and adds some knowledge to the situation.
Dropping some spider sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the spider webs.
Rude.
My phone is not on silent. My phone is not on silent. All right. Next up, we've got the role of Walter Colby. He's the farmer slash rancher who first alerts the authorities to livestock being harmed by whatever, right?
Right.
And your Walter Colby?
I went with a 71-year-old actor. He was in American History X. He was in 15 Minutes. The Big Hit. He was in Spencer for Hire.
Also, oh, well, wait a minute. Was he Hawk in Spencer for Hire?
Spencer!
Nice.
He was also Captain Benjamin Sisko in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Avery Brooks.
Very good, Avery Brooks. Dude, very good. So I told you already that the Hawk in the Spencer Confidential movie is the dad from... Us.
The dad? Oh, the you mean the brother?
No, the dad in Us. Us.
Oh, Us. I'm thinking about This Is Us.
No, different.
I'm cutting different this out.
Okay, so my actor is 63 now as well. He was in Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. He was in The Cotton Club. He was in Highlander, The Final Dimension. That's a little treat for an upcoming episode. He also directed New Jack City and was also in that. And he played Malcolm X in the Muhammad Ali biopic Ali. His name is Mario Van Peebles.
I like Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, he's good. All right. So, recommends or no recommends on this one?
Absolutely not.
Not a recommend for Kingdom of the Spiders.
I mean, if you want to laugh at it and make fun of it,
it's
sure.
A real harsh take.
It's a tire fire.
Yeah, it is a tire fire, and we didn't start it.
Like you said at the beginning of the show, I'm pretty sick of Shatner movies.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's not a good actor. Hot take from Travis.
Yeah,
William Shatner's not a great actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been over the top. I mean, you reel it all the way back to, like, the Twilight Zone thing on the wing of the plane, and he
there's something on the
I mean, he was,
wing.
But he found his niche and his fame, and he just continued milking that direction and just going crazy over the top with his stuff.
All right, well, with that, we are going to go to a bonus segment, which is a battle royale between all the captains. first, we've got Captain Kirk. Then we've got Captain Sisko. Then we've got Captain Janeway. And then we've also got Captain Archer.
And Captain Picard.
And Captain Picard. But he's clearly going to win. I pick Captain Picard to win the Battle Royale.
Jeez. I want to say Janeway because
she's the only girl in the mix.
Girl power. Yeah. I mean, in their prime, Kirk, man. I mean,
in their prime.
Yeah. Kirk could do some serious.
What about Scott Bakula in his prime? No.
No, it's not Scott Bakula, though. It's the captain. I think Captain Kirk could take them all in a fist fight. Because he could square off in melee combat against practically any alien race. I'm going to go Kirk.
You're going Kirk?
Yep.
I'm going Picard.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is going to go ahead and wrap us up. We want to thank our guests. Thank you guys for being here. I want to plug The Invisible Man, The Invisible Guests. Also want to thank my co-host, co-producer, and the property owner of the Cinema Chop Shop. Thank you for doing what you do every week.
Property owner? That's funny. Yeah, man, no problem. My pleasure.
What do you want to plug?
Well, you know, we can't plug Right Answers with Wrong Travis. Nope. I can't plug anything at Seminar Brewing other than we are doing curbside takeout and to-go canned beer as well as growler and crowler fills. Our restaurant partner, Downtown Southern Funk, is doing curbside pickup as well as delivery through the Waiter app. That's Waiter, Waiter app.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll get through this thing together and scrape by. We appreciate everybody's patronage for sure.
I want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever application it is that you're listening to this podcast. Also, we are on Podbean. We're hosted natively on there. Twitter, we are at Cinema Chop Shop. Facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. CinemaChopShop@gmail.com is our email address. And then the beer that we checked in and enjoyed thoroughly today, we will check that in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. Finally.
What about next week? If we're still living.
Next week is what? What is next week?
Christopher Lambert movies.
Christopher Lambert.
Lambert. Now, we were going to do a live minisode.
Yes.
In front of a screening of a film. And unfortunately...
That is postponed.
COVID-19 has put the COVID kibosh on that.
The Cove-bosh.
But you can't keep us down.
You can't. And... that will be rescheduled.
Absolutely.
Whenever things seem cool, that's when we're going to do it. Also, please, listeners, remember to wash chop retrofit.
Wash chop retrofit. And cover your mouths, please. And social distance.